Hold on to your seats and noses, folks, because you're listening to the No Farting Around Show, where we're all about taking your marketing from the toilet to the bank. I'm your host, Ashley Mae Fernandez, and each episode I plunge into the depths of marketing to bring you fresh perspectives that are deadly but not silent. So if you're ready to stop farting around and make your profits rip, let's cut to the cheese and get on with the show. Hello, everyone. I am super giddy today because I have a guest on the show that I told her before we hit record that I've stalked her for almost a year. I read every single thing she posts, every single one of your posts, and she is just a force to be reckoned with. I think you are just so amazing. I'm so excited to have you on the show. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself and guys, get ready because this episode is probably, I'm just going to just go ahead and name. This is probably going to be the best episode on the show thus far because what we're talking about today.
It's the best episode.
We're claiming it. So yes, if you could just do a quick introduction, tell people who you are, what you do. And then I just want you to get straight into what are your thoughts around, actually, how would you define wealth? That'll be the very first question I ask you.
Okay. First of all, thank you so much for having me. My name is Shayla Locklear. I am a wealth psychologist and high performance coach, and I work with high net worth, ultra high net worth individuals. And we work on the non-financial challenges of success and money. And no, I'm not a financial advisor, but often you hear me talk about millions and billions of dollars. But let's go into the first question that you said. So what is wealth? And so what's very interesting is most of the time people confuse wealth with money, and that's not the truth. Because money is needed for wealth, yes, but it's not the same thing. There are a lot of rich people in this world, which means they have a lot of money, but that doesn't equal wealth. Like, wealth is something that I would say is like a multiplication, it's extrapolated. It's more than just the physical dollar signs. It's an energy, it's a feeling, it's assets, it's your health, but it is your, the way that you think, it's the way that you walk, it's the way that you talk, it's your family, it's your relationships. So wealth is bigger than just the money side of it. It's really an all-encompassing way of living your life.
I love that. Yes, and that's why I asked you that question. It's really funny. I saw this years ago on a post, and someone had asked the question, do you want to be rich? And everyone was like, yes. And then they said, do you want to be wealthy? And they were all like, yes. And they were, I was like, and then they asked, so what do you think the difference between wealthy and rich are? And it was funny because the comments were just so over the top. But most people said yes to both rich and wealthy. But then right. When they asked to describe it, it was all these negative connotations with rich. They're like, they cheated their way to the top. So that like things like that came out. It was nuts. And I was like, oh my God, this is so fascinating. And I know you talk a lot about wealth particularly. That's why I asked that question, right? Because your mindset on it is just so spot on and so different than what on mainstream, which is so fascinating to me. And so I told her guys before I jumped on, I was like reading her Facebook post and writing down quotes because I wanted to put that in it. And one of the things that you said in terms of wealth is you said you get rich by managing reality. You get wealthy by managing asset and equity. So yes. I'd love to talk a little bit more about that because in my mind, and you can totally tell me if I'm thinking about this in a not linear way, but in my mind, you sometimes have to get to rich first before you can get to wealthy.
Most definitely. No,
okay.
I agree.
Okay.
Because we see this all the time. There's a lot of rich people online, but they're not wealthy. And because rich, to me, in my opinion, is about the dollars, right? So you can see the Lambos, you can see the people going on vacations, you can see all of these things. And that is like what people think wealth is, or like mainstream wealth. Like when we talk about wealth, people are thinking about the Bugattis and the this and the that. That's just rich. There's a lot of people can be rich, right? But not everybody can be wealthy. That's what I truly believe. So when we talk about wealth, I talk about not only just the inner part of that, which is your mind, your body, your spirit, your energetic, but it's also when we talk about managing like assets and stuff like that, it's about your money making money. It's about you expanding your capacity to receive and expanding your being in this lifetime. So when you like riches, like you can pass along money, but what does that even mean? Okay, you think about leaving a legacy, right? But a legacy isn't necessarily tied to a dollar sign, because your family and your friends, right? You can leave money, right? We all want to, we say we want generational wealth, right? But a lot of people are talking about generational money. They're not really talking about generational wealth, because you can leave money, but really what does that do for your family or for your memory or for your legacy? Because once it's gone, what happens? Do they forget about you? Probably. Do they not even care? Probably. So when you think about generational wealth, when you think about managing the assets and the equity, things of that sort, these are things that will help you create a lasting legacy where you're going to be remembered beyond your dollars.
Oh, I love that. I think that generational wealth is such a buzzword today. And I just love how you describe that, because yeah, even in my mind, the generational wealth is, yeah, it's leaving money for the family, but you're like, no, it's what's beyond that. I love that. See, here you are shifting my thoughts already too.
We all want money, right?
But yeah, we all want money.
Like, okay, grandma leaves you a million, you spend it, and after that, you're like,
what do you do with it? Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Where do you think, this might be a loaded question, but where do you think the line is? What do you see the shift between someone who has the capability of, someone who's rich but has the capability to be wealthy? What is that line that they maybe have to cross over, or that kind of one shift that they need? What do you think that is?
A lot of times it is the, not only a desire to be wealthy, but dealing with the uncomfortable notion of what rich brings to the table. Because a lot of people are uncomfortable with money, right? Although there's a lot of rich people. And you see this online a lot, where people are very open online. They will show you everything. They will show the screenshots. They'll talk about money all day long. But if you get in person with them, it's a very different story.
Yeah.
And so you're like expecting something else. And now here's the other thing. Let's just understand. Online, we have, in theater, they call it the, or in TV, they call it the fourth wall, right? So we have to be able to like project online. So I get it. Like we all have a little bit of extra online so that people can feel. But even yet and still, in person, it shouldn't be completely off kilter, right? And I've heard so many people, and I've seen some clients who are actually, we're working through this right now, who are uncomfortable with their wealth in like the 3D. Online, it's okay. They can talk about it. They can speak about it. They can show it. They're not afraid of it. But in person, it's this uncomfortability with not just the money, but with what people think about their money. So they're like almost shied away. There has to be this comfortability with money in regards to wealth. And also the line is being able to allow your money to make money. I always say from, especially online, it's like when you put your big girl panties on, you realize, oh, I'm a real fucking business. Okay. Because your family is like, oh, how's that little internet thing going? And you're like, dude, I just bought your house. What are you talking about? Like that little internet thing? Yeah. Okay. So you have to really start to see who you are and what your money can do and how to utilize that versus like how to spend. Like rich is very spendy. So we're like, spend, I can show you. But wealth,
I can just make more.
Yeah.
Right? Oh,
and
I hear that.
Okay. But wealth is really a bigger understanding of the responsibility of your money, allowing your money to make money, getting yourself beyond just the make it, the earn it, spend it, earn it, spend it, earn it, spend it type of thing, into what do I actually want to do with my money? What changes can I make in my world or the world with my money? How can I utilize the resources that I've been given to really make a big impact in the world or my world? So riches is the money, like, but wealth is once again beyond the money. What's the next step? And that is wealth. So riches is money. Okay, cool. But wealth is beyond money.
I love that. I also love that you said in my world, because I think for me personally, growing up, money didn't feel like, I don't want to say this, I didn't feel like I deserved money. If you had money, you were selfish. Basically, that was the narrative for me growing up, is that like, you, when you have money, you're selfish, like you're greedy almost. And so it's funny, I'm speaking about astrology. I love astrology. I have a Capricorn stellium. Okay. I love money. And I have Scorpio in my second house of money. So I'm a little secretive with money. So it's interesting, even when you were just talking, I was like, I'm the opposite. I don't like to talk about money online, but in person all day, every day, I will talk with my friends like, yep, I made $30,000. Like, it doesn't even bother me one bit. But like online, I'm a little like, So I'm the opposite, which is funny. My Capricorn stellium, it is more of a, I think like the online world for a couple of years was all like, how can you make an impact with the world? Like, give back to the world. And I'm like, I first want to provide for me. Like, how can this benefit me? And then we can talk about going out and doing things. But I always felt bad for having that thought. And I remember like my friend who, when I first got into astrology and he read my chart, he was like, no, like, you're a Capricorn. No. He was like, That's how they think. They are more of, how can this benefit me? And then once they feel safe and they feel secure, then it's like going out. And I just love that you said that, like, my world, because I don't think that a lot of people have that mentality. It's more of a, like, what, it's almost this like guilt trip almost of, you have, what are you going to do with that money? If you had it, like, you have to give it all away, like, type thing. And I'm like, no, I want to reserve. It was interesting. I love to thrift shop. I don't care how much money. I don't care if I'm a billionaire. I will always go to thrift shops. I love finding a good deal. I just love it. It's like the thrill of the hunt for me. And I remember I was in there and I had this little ping of like guilt, because I was like, I'm like buying these things when like other people probably really need them. And then I like immediately shifted. I was like, no, you have the money you have because you're smart with your money and you could spend $300 on this sweater new, or you can pay $20 in this store and it'd be just as nice to wear it. And it was interesting. I had that like shift in mindset just right then and there of, no, that's why I have the money that I have, because I'm smart with it and I'm not exactly like just willy-nilly spending it. Exactly. So anyways, it's just such a good topic. And again, just so glad that you said like your world, because I think that's just so it resonates with me.
Right. No, I had a client who was like, Shayla, is it okay if I don't want to save the world? I just want to like do this for my family. I'm like,
save my world.
I want to save my world. Of course. And they're like, but everybody talks about this big picture. Huh. And that's when I started actually talking about this more, because I'm like, and I say it a lot in my writing or my content, is like either your world or the world, because both of them are important. And I always feel that you should fill your cup up first. And a lot of people, especially new age, whether you believe in the Bible, God, universe, angels, Palladians, whatever, they're like, oh, this whole attitude of gratitude, you give first, so you give what you don't have and you will be blessed. And I'm like, where the hell or anywhere else did that say? Unless I agree with that. And then there's like a overarching or overwhelming, like, knowing where God, angels, universe, and your higher power says, hey, yo, do this. Okay, cool. But other than that, no, everything that we're talking about here, you have to be okay first. Because what happens is you're giving, they say give from a giving spirit or whatever else. You can't do that if you yourself don't have it. Yeah. So then you're giving, right, from this like your resentful spirit, because you're like, I don't have this, but I'm supposed to do this in order to be right. And then something doesn't happen, right? The manifestation doesn't come. And then you're mad at God or universe or whatever, because you're like, you told me to do this and I did this. And they'll, no, they never told you to give what you didn't have yet. That's never what was the case. So I think we've got so many interesting thought processes around all of this and giving and doing this, but I'm an advocate of do you first. And if that's all that you can do, or if that's enough, or if you don't have an overarching world impact that you want to have, know that you being in your world, beautifying your world, you doing you, is actually the most beneficial thing you can do to impact this world.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I just had a conversation with someone the other day about reciprocity. And it was interesting because we were talking about it in terms of like business. And for me personally, I was like saying how we were talking about aura colors. And he was like, your soul skin color is blue. And he was like, I love the blues. And I was like, oh, I love it. And he was saying, but the thing about blues is you need reciprocity. And he said, and the thing is that you tend to overgive hoping to get it back. And he's, but that is the opposite of what you should be doing. And he was like, people have to give to you first. And then when you feel so loved and abundant, you then can go overgive and you can have that reciprocity. And it was such a unique shift to me because I didn't grow up a Christian. I didn't grow up any religion, actually, but I became a Christian for a little while. And now I'm just like, I'm way more spiritual than I am organized religion. But anyways, it was interesting because I'm like, wow, that has been a topic I've seen throughout my entire life, is that you need to have a servant's heart and you need to show up and overserve. I even see this online. I see this online with like marketing, and I can't tell you how many, as a marketing and messaging strategist, how many of my clients come to me and they're like, I just feel like I am giving and giving and giving and giving, and no one is buying or no one is like giving it back to me. And I'm like, because you're giving with an agenda. That's not actually serving. Like, serving is like giving without having anything in return. And so I hate that. Like, I think, I don't even know who it is. Who is the coach? Maybe some coach who says, I can't think of who it is, but he's saying how like selling is serving. And I'm like, no, I don't agree with that. I don't agree that selling is serving, because then you are showing up with an agenda of, if I just overgive to these people, then they're going to eventually buy from me. But then you feel resentful and depleted when they don't. And I'm like, no, like that's not. So anyways, I shifted that a little bit of saying that like selling is just sharing. It's just being so over the top about passionate about what you're doing and just wanting to talk about it all the time and sharing it. And when I had that mindset of, I don't care, I just want to talk about this forever, especially, I'm not an astrologist by any means, but I became obsessed with it when I learned about it. I'm like, oh my God, this is fascinating. And I talk about it all the time. And I can't tell you how many people, I'm like, I will pay you to read my chart, pay my, like, here, throwing money at me, like, read my chart, help me. And I'm like, this is so funny. But I had like never had any intentions of selling. It was just, I want to share about this because I love it. And so I love this topic because I think that there are a lot of things that we have grown up with in a society that is usually backwards, especially when you become an entrepreneur. You're trying to do the same things. And it's, wait, this is not like I'm tracking. My husband said, that's not tracking. I picked it up from him and it feels weird to say it. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot of things that it's not on the same playing field. So I know for you particularly, you work with very wealthy, I think you've ultra high net worth. Right. Okay. I said it correctly. Yep. That is a tongue twister for me. I don't know why. Every time I see you post it, I try to say it out loud. I'm like, ultra high net worth. But I don't know why I have to do it. So I would love to know, I'd love to like peek behind the scenes of people at that level. Like, maybe what are some of the main kind of money blocks that you have to talk with them on or coach them on or overcome? I'd love to know. And if they are similar to people who have less money than them. Yeah. So what are some?
It's very interesting because as we spoke about a little bit before we started recording, you're like, a lot of people have very similar problems at just at like different levels. As someone who you would say would be, I'm not going to say poor, but has less money, mid-level money, lots of money. And so one of my favorite phrases is like, money only solves money problems, right? So really, when we think about the challenges that we have as individuals, they're very similar. It's just that you're put in different environments and how you deal with them or not deal with them is different. So when we think about money challenges, there's a lot that can happen, especially with high net worth, ultra high net worth individuals. We can look at people who came from money, right? So if you came from money, if you grew up with money and it was there, but it wasn't a conversation, then you don't really understand it, right? You know that you maybe have a trust fund. You know that grandpa or grandma worked really hard and now we are rising generation, next generation. We've got all of this money. You went to the best schools, the best experiences. And now you're trying to figure out like, how do I even balance a checkbook? Like, what is money? What is this? I know I'm different than the world, right? And I know that people look at me very differently. But I don't even know who I am outside of my family's last name and this identity that I was given. And I was told to that this is the way that we are, right? Not the way this is who I am. This is the way that we are as a family because we have a name and a reputation to uphold. And so there's so, when I talk about wealth psychology and like success and things of that sort, like there's so much depth in that. Because people are like, what else can you talk about? Seriously? I'm like, yeah, of course it's great when you are sitting on $100 million, but like the identity work of that, of, hey, I don't know who I am. Hey, I'm defined by this money and this last name, but I'm coming to realize that's not necessarily what I agree with. And my family's not allowing me to express that. I don't even know what it is or how to express that. I just know that I should feel grateful that I'm here and I've got all of this wealth, but I don't. And that makes me feel guilty. And how do I deal with that? And so there's that. There's people who are now coming into wealth, right? Who maybe didn't grow up wealthy, but they had a business, something like that, a liquidity event, which allowed them to have large sums of money. And now it's, okay, there's so many different avenues with that. Maybe you are the wealth creator, right? You had a liquidity event, and now you have, once again, you're sitting on $200-300 million, more than you've ever seen in your life. But once again, we go back to, what do I even do with all of this money? But the identity. So it was like, if you've worked every single day of your life, in a sense, to build this business to which now you sold a part of yourself, and now you don't know who you are. And so it's okay. And your friends and your family and everybody's looking at you differently now because of this dollar sign. And so you are on a boat by yourself, basically, and out to sea with a lot of money. But no one's helping you. Like, everyone's looking at you weird. Or it's even the fact, like, the uncomfortability, especially if you, once again, if you didn't grow up with money and now you haven't, it's very uncomfortable to know what to do with. It's, you're going to your financial advisor and you feel stupid because they're telling you all of these things. You have no clue what it means, but you're just shaking your head. You don't want to sound stupid, right? You don't want to be like, I don't know. So you're just like, yeah, huh, absolutely. When the truth is, you have no clue what's going on with your money. Nothing. You know what to do. You also don't want to get things wrong, especially high performers in general. We are love really getting things right. We're perfectionists in a sort. So when you have a high performer who's also wealthy and who just came into money, and you're like, I don't know what to do, but I'm not comfortable telling people that. It's shame. It's a lot of shame. It's a lot of hiding. It's a lot of, even when it comes to philanthropy, it's like, how do I give? And you're like, what do you mean? How do you give? How do I give? I don't want to do this wrong. I don't know how to manage this. Do I just look up something? What do I do? Do I just go to a, like, the Red Cross? What do I do?
Yeah.
So there's so many different avenues of challenges that wealthy individuals have, that in the same breath, if you think about people who maybe don't have as much money, it's the same but different. So the uncomfortability with money comes with, okay, I don't have it. Everybody's told me it was wrong. I want it, right? Because we have it, we need it to live. But if we look at how society is showing money, it's a double-edged sword. It's like, yes, you want to get it all, but also you're horrible. Look at all the billionaires. Look at all the millionaires. They're ruining the world and everything else. So now the uncomfortability with money is the fact that I don't have it, but I want it. But the world tells me I shouldn't want it, but also that I should.
Yeah.
And so you see, we're both uncomfortable. It's just a different level of things. But if we look at philanthropy, I'd love to give. I don't have it. I don't have it to give. And even if I did have it to give, I work for it. I worked really hard for it. So why would I give this away to anybody, any beggar on the street or anybody else, when I don't know if it's going to come back? So once again, I don't know how to do this right. I don't know how to do this right because I've worked so hard and I also have issues with money. So I feel if I give it away, I'm never going to get it back. So it's different, same, but different levels of what happens in each world, in each realm.
Yeah. And I think those are so many great scenarios, by the way. I'm sitting here, wow, I've never thought of that. I've never thought about that either. But even though where you're like, I don't know how, I was like, wow, that has never crossed my mind that someone with a lot of money is like, I don't know how to donate it. I'm like, I have never, ever thought about that. But that's so true. I'm like, if someone just gave me $2 million right now and said, go donate, I'm like, I don't know how to do it. What do I do? I don't know how to do it either, but it's something I've never thought about. Such great scenarios. And I think it's interesting because obviously I only have my personal experience of life and money to go off of. But I've noticed that a lot of the same thoughts that I had when I grew up with really no money to having money, not like ultra high net worth, but like having more than, I never in a million years thought I would ever live in a two-story house. Like to me, growing up, a two-story house was like, you will have so much money. I never thought that. And I literally am in my beautiful two-story house and I'm like by the water, like the home next to me sold for $2.1 million. And I'm over here. I never thought I would be here, like have this. But it's interesting because I think for me personally, a lot of those same thoughts that I had younger still come up. Even with money. And one in particular, like as you were talking, one of the scenarios, we grew up right down the road from this very wealthy, he's actually my lawyer now, but he was, oh my God, he was a business lawyer. He was a shark. Like I was best friends with his son and like they had 300 acres. They lived in a $4 million home. Ian got for his 16th birthday a Porsche. His very first car was a Porsche. So when I'm over here driving this like old van that my mom had for a lot of money, but I like loved being at their house because I just was like, oh my God, this is amazing. But I remember in particular one time my mom saying something about them and she was like, oh yeah, them, like they have so much money, but you would never know it. You would never know they had so much money. They totally don't want it. They aren't like regular rich people. They're actually nice. And so in my mind, I was like, oh, you have to hide your money or people are going to think negative. And literally every time they were spoke about, my mom would say, oh, yeah, oh, my God, they have so much money. But you would never know it. You would never know it. So I didn't remember that till years and years later when I started doing shadow work around money and that came up during a hypnosis session. And I'm like, oh my God, I totally remember all this. And so for me, it implanted this where you have to hide your money. Like you have to hide. You can't talk about it. You can't flaunt it. Like you can't show it. Then me over here with my Capricorn, all my Capricorn energy is like, I want it. Like I want to be driving my nice car and people look at me like, oh my God. But to me, it's I've worked really hard for this. And yeah, I've wanted this and now I have it and I want to enjoy it. And it's just so interesting because it's something that still comes up. Like I still fight that all the time of, oh, I should hide this. Like I should hide this. Like I shouldn't tell people. And it's coming up for that. And then one other thing is I once had a client too that making eight figures, but behind the scenes, I was behind the scenes of the business and barely scraping by, like barely paying payroll, like all that. And I remember talking to him about it. And he had this thought of, you said, that's just who we are. And he said that like, I'm growing up, his dad, I won't say his last name, but we'll just say the last name is Jones. And he was like, or that's a hard one to say. We'll say Banks. He said, Banks don't get ahead. They just get by. And he said, his dad said that growing up his entire life. It's like, oh yeah, the banks just, we don't get ahead. We just get by. So he was making eight figures and still just getting by. And it was just this implanted in him. And it was something that came up every single time. And even again, I don't really do financials or money mindset coaching, anything like that. I do messaging and marketing, but even in his marketing, it was like just barely getting by. He's like, oh, just do the bare minimum. We just need clients this month. Just do the bare minimum instead of like setting up systems and structures and actually like honing in on your messaging and making it work for you and all these things. And it was just so fascinating because when you said that example, it reminded me of that where it's just who we are. And of course, he grew up not having a lot of money, obviously. But even when you're talking about, they had a lot of money. You had a trust fund, but you had a name to uphold. That's just who we are. It's like the same in both scenarios. It's just fascinating to me. It's just so fascinating.
I think it's interesting to also like, because we're not a monolith. So I know that you talk about astrology a lot and different ways of being. And I think it is important to like, look at those things for you. If it's astrology, if it's HD, if it's whatever it is, to see how you are coded. That doesn't mean to me, I think
not the end all be all.
They're like, oh, this is not a death sentence, but I have to be this way. Oh, it's just a knowing, like, okay, how you were created, what this works for you. And so for me, like looking at even money stuff and the way that I do things and even the way that I run my business, it's I'm a 4-6 in HD. So when I look at, and I'm a sacral generator. So when you look at that in regards to, right, when you look at that in regards to money and things of that sort, and even the way that I market and get clients or have clients come to me, it's I am a connector. That's the four, right? Relationships and everything else. And that's who buys from me. So I'm the person that everybody, like, I'm the connector. I'm the absolute connector. I know this person, that person, blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows me. That's how my world works. But then the sixth side of it, which is the matriarch or of sorts or whatever you want to call it, we're like this regal being that just goes in the world and does what we want, and people flock to you. And I'm a connector that also doesn't follow the rules, who just does what she does, who, and this comes to money too. People think it's so easy for me because they're like, oh, people just come to you. Or people always roll out the red carpet for you, which is absolutely true. Like,
love it.
And I used to think it was like a problem. I'm like, oh my God, is this an issue? And even friendships and people are like, you just have this air about you that, like, no, it's not that's a whole another story, but like the better than, like, people think like you're better than everybody. And no, I think that's the projection. And maybe that's what it seems like, because people do come to me. I just go and it is. Like, yeah. And so understanding those types of things will help you understand like how money works in your world. You talk about your world. And then if you're a flaunter, okay, flaunt it. If you're somebody who doesn't flaunt so much, okay, cool. And that's why I'm like, none of this is wrong. It just has to, you have to look at how your works for you. Some families, like, the eight-figure guy who's, oh, no, we don't talk about it. We're always just getting by.
Yeah.
And I've seen that. People who are making lots of money, but it doesn't really matter if we both end up at zero at the beginning of the month. I can make $10,000 and you can make $100,000, $200,000, $500,000. And if you're back at zero, just like me, we're the same.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset part of like this whole money thing. Well, you wonder why you're just getting by at eight figures. It makes no sense. Like, you shouldn't just be getting by. But it also depends on business overhead. There's a lot in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is just general. So you do have to look at those things in regards to your riches, in regards to your wealth, how you are coded, how the stars aligned when you were born, and utilize that to support you in your business, in your life, in your money, in your riches, in your wealth. It's not a death sentence. It's something that really helps you and is going to help money come to you in the way that it's like the smoother pathway. So for me, I used to, I'm not gonna say I used to chase, but I was very like, go do be her. Like, if you know me from 8 years ago, especially online, like, I was just, and that's not a bad thing, but it wasn't something that I could sustain. Like, I don't know. I remember one day clearly, it was New Year's Day, and I was just done. I was like, oh my God. And I thought I was a failure. I was like, what is happening? I can't do this anymore. I can't keep doing and blah, blah, blah. And so that's when HD and all these things start to come into my life, when I realized, oh, I'm working way too hard. My natural essence, aura being is like the silver platter, the gold platter. It comes to me, I decide yes or no.
That's not
true for everybody, but for me it is. So that's how, even business-wise, right? Even with clients, like, a lot of my, yes, do I still prospect if I want to or whatever else? Absolutely. But a lot of it is referral. A lot of it is conversation. A lot of it is intrigue. A lot of it is they find me, they watch me, they hire me for six figures. A lot of it. So you have to utilize those things to help you in your money and in your wealth, and understanding that all of those nuances that we talk about, those belief systems, like, it's not true because it's true. It's true because you believe it.
Yes. Yes. I love that you said that too, because it's funny, when I came into astrology, the very first person who read my chart was like, I'm not going to tell you that you have any hard aspects, because I don't believe that there's anything negative on this page. And he said, a lot of people will tell you that. And he was like, but if you come forth any type of astrology, human design, anything with this thought of, oh, this is going to be really hard for me, or like, oh, this is a negative, you're going to fall into that. And nothing is a negative. When I see this, it's just, it is more of, okay, you have this aspect this just means that you might have a little more spice to you. That's what he said. He said, you might have a little more spice to you when it comes to this. And I was like, okay, I like spicy. That's fine. And it's interesting because that is how I look at it. I look at it too, but I laugh because, yeah, I love it and it's so interesting. But then I also am like, but I also have free will. So I can totally do this if I want to do it and whatever. I have choices. I can make choices. But I totally could tell you were a sixth line. I could see that right off the bat. I go, and with the hair and with the hair too. I don't know what it is about sixth lines, but you guys always have like most like luscious, like gorgeous hair. Like it's I don't know what it is. This is the observation that I've had. Like literally every person that has a sixth line, they're the role models. You guys just...
Yeah.
Unapologetically do you, which is so refreshing. I'm a 1-3. So while you guys are out there being you, I'm behind the scenes digging into all of the details and then experimenting with it. And I'm like, yeah, let me just tell you guys, this is what worked for me. This is not what worked for me. I'm just going to be over here doing some more experiments and letting all of you guys know.
I know.
But yeah, I get it. I think even when you were talking about your go BBB, I think a lot of people resonate with that. I saw that for a while. For quite some time, a lot, especially women, obviously, because we were trying to operate like men, and especially the generators, because we do have the energy to go. Right. But we also have to have time to step back and also receive. I think that something, I think you mentioned that way earlier in the beginning, is like having the capacity to receive. And I think that a lot of people think that in business or with money, you have to constantly be doing and doing and giving and all of that. But you don't actually have time to just sit back and receive and enjoy. And we talked about that with the client that I was just talking about. It was like, you're barely getting by because you just keep thinking that you have to keep doing more to get, but you actually have no idea how to receive money. Like you know how to make money, but you have no idea how to enjoy it or receive it. And that was like that was a big lesson for me because, again, growing up with no money and then all of a sudden getting it, I'm like, oh, God, what am I supposed to do with this? This feels uncomfortable. Yeah. Get rid of it, all this stuff. And it was a lot of shadow work around what does it look like to actually receive? And that was when I talked about reciprocity earlier, that was something, too, where it was like, oh, no, I don't get unless I give. And it's like, why can't people give to you first?
Yeah,
I feel so much better when people give to you first. And it's such a backwards thing in society, but I'm sure you see it. I'm sure you see it all the time.
It's very interesting when we talk about reciprocity and wealth and all of those things, because one of the, like how I am is, and a lot of my, I would say my business development clients. So my business development clients are the ones who, like I'm helping them and supporting them in creating a luxury side of their business or helping them to expand that side of their business where they're able to work with high net worth, ultra high net worth individuals. And then there is me just strictly mentoring and coaching ultra high net worth individuals and their families. So I have two sides of my business here, but especially with the business development side, when we talk about these types of things, it's very interesting because people, most of the time I attract people who are givers. Mm-hmm. And I'm a giver. And I learn this very often. Like I overgive. Like I'm a giver because I'm somebody who also, like, when I think about, let's say, like food pantries and stuff like that, I used to get so mad because I'm like, who the fuck wants to eat peanut butter and off-brand peanut butter at that and jelly all the time? Like I'm not going to give something that I wouldn't want. People want fresh food. People want this. People want that. You think that people who are down and out, you know, want to just, they tell you to be grateful that you can get this. And I'm like, how dare we give them scraps? These are individuals. Yeah. Don't do that. So I don't give anything I wouldn't want. And so I'm like, I'm going to give this. And now, yes, I know not everything. You can't always give meat or this or that because they don't have the capacity to hold it. Like they don't have the cold and everything else. But most of the time I'm that person. I'm like, I'm not going to give shit. I'm going to give like something that I would absolutely want because at the end of the day, especially if someone's down in their luck, the last thing you need is somebody basically kicking you while you're down and being like, you should be thankful for that. Like, never. So when you think about giving, right, or like the way that you are, I'm such a giver, then when I look at my business strategy or I look at how I do business, there's no way that I can charge these smaller or lower level prices. It just wouldn't work. And first of all, I don't feel filled up by it. And secondly, I always, and this is not like trying to do or be, who I am naturally is a giver. I overgive. I'm always over the top. So at the end of the day, you're always going to get whatever I promise times 100, because that's just who I am. But I also have to make sure that in exchange, I feel it's reciprocal or well received. So people do this. And we talked about like how people do it on the other side, where they're like, I'm going to give and I'm going to do this, or I'm going to charge this price for my program because like it's going to make people feel better, or it's like whatever, but in expectation that like this happens. And then you get people who are taking advantage of you, or you're doing more than you need to and not feeling fulfilled because it's an equal exchange. And so I talk about this, especially when my clients are raising their prices. It's not just about raising your price for the sake of raising your price, which people say all the time, oh, just raise your price. It's about the value of the transformation that you're able to provide. And when you look at the primary radiant ripple results of the work that you do with your clients and the lifelong longevity of that, oh my God. Oh my God. You have to understand that in order to be able to charge that. And also knowing if you're a giver like me, then you have to be able to pack that in to the price where you feel good about this. And it's not going to be this like resentment because something A, B, C, D, E, F, or G happens. I always say charge enough to be able to offer or to be able to give a beautiful experience. And so I think that's something that's really important, especially on the internet side of things or the business side of things. When we're looking at, I want to work with high net worth people, or I want to make more money or things of that sort. Well, are you charging enough to give the type of experience that would warrant that? And what are the primary radiant and ripple results of what you got, what the work that you're doing? And I think that helps people a lot in regards to seeing, oh my gosh, I'm so undercharging because my work is absolutely changing lives. And this is not like an ego thing. It's a truth thing. And I deserve to be compensated well for that. And when you're able to do that, then some of this stuff moves away. Like we're not worried, all these challenges with money, all the other stuff. It really goes away when you start to value and see the power of your work and actually honoring it. And then you're like, oh, this is how the world works. Okay. Versus the give, I have to charge this. Not everybody can afford this. Oh my gosh. I have to $20 here, $9.99 here, whatever, $11.11. This is the program, right? I have to overgive because they'll come back, this and that. No, you teach people how to treat you. And yeah. We don't treat each other cheaply.
It's funny that you say that because I was part of a mastermind several years ago. And now being out of that mastermind, I'm like, oh, that was very cultish. And that was their whole persona was just giving, keep giving because they'll owe you. He literally said that. He said, they'll feel like they owe you. And I was like, I don't want anyone to feel like they owe me. No, absolutely not. Yeah. I just think that, yeah, that whole, everything you're just talking about makes so much sense. And I love the way that you talked about that with high prices, because I think that your thoughts, your energy has to be behind it, but you can't recognize your energy if you don't believe those things, right? So I love that you said that. It was such a good topic. I know we're right at the hour, so I could talk forever.
I know we have so much more to talk about, but it's okay.
So much more. I love it. Is there anything that you would like to leave? I love to just leave this last question with my guests. If there's anything you can maybe tattoo on someone's soul, on their heart, something that maybe you think they need to hear today. It can be anything. It doesn't have to be about money, anything we talk about today. What would that be?
One of the biggest things I think that people really need to understand and own, and is not only that we all deserve to be wealthy, and not just rich, because we have a lot of rich people. We all deserve to be wealthy, but also that if you, being well-resourced is of high service to the world. And if you are only focused on your world, it's of high service to your world and the world. And one of the things that I had to battle initially, when I first came out, like I'm not going to say secretly, but I was doing this for a while before I openly talked about working with primarily high net worth, ultra high net worth individuals. I grew into it. It was my background was perfect for this, and that we'll talk about that later, but it all worked out. And one of the things people would tell me, or they're like, what qualifies you? Why you? How dare you almost just shit on everybody else? Oh, because they can't afford you or anything else. And one of the reasons, and also how I am created, but one of the reasons why this works so well for me is because I don't believe in starting from the bottom, or I don't believe in that methodology where everybody's, you start at the bottom and you like, everybody's helping everybody, push everybody up, and life is great. And I'm like, yeah, maybe you guys are great at that, but that's not my shtick. One thing that I've seen, and one thing that I trust and I know, and it's worked for me and worked for hundreds of my clients as well, is when you support and help the people at the top, we have access to more resources than you ever understand. And when you can start and help and support individuals at the top, that opens up the door for giving, that opens up the door for all of the rest of this to trickle down and pull everybody up so much faster than starting at the bottom or working from the bottom up to try to push everybody up with little to no resources or ability. When you are able to work with and positively affect and support the individuals who are at the top, then the world is benefited from that, because their resources and their support and their access and their crew and their relationship, all of that is better because of the support that you are able to help them with or to give them. And because of that, all of that goodness trickles down and everybody gets better because of it. Yeah. And so I think the top down for me is so much better than the bottom up. Now, there's some people who are really good at bottom up. I'm not one of them. But I'm amazing at being able to support people who are at the top, the richest, the wealthiest, the most well-known, unknown individuals, the celebrities, all of those individuals who have impact, who have access, who are able to move the needle quicker than anybody else down here. And it's not saying one is better than the other. It's just saying, where do you want to be? I want to be at the top and helping the individuals at the top. And that's why I'm there. And if that's you, don't be ashamed of it. Know that your work, whether it's top, middle, bottom, whatever you want to think, is powerful. But for those of you who want to start at the top, support at the top, and help them, just know that the impact that you're able to have is 100 times bigger, better, faster, bolder, more amazing than those who are pushing up from the bottom.
I absolutely love that. The image that was coming to my mind was like, imagine someone who has literally the lifeboat with a ton of life jackets, and everybody's in the water. And instead of them asking, hey, throw me a life jacket, they're all trying to push people to the boat, but they're both drowning. You know what I mean? Like, they're both struggling when the person at the top has the lifeboat and the life jackets, and nobody is like getting a life jacket. I just love that. I love that perspective. I hear me in that perspective too. I'm like, oh my God. But it's true. Almost every client that I've had, or even just being in masterminds that I've been in masterminds with very wealthy individuals. And it's like the amount of good work that they're able to do because they have the resources is just insane to me. And it's uplifting, and it like literally lights me up. But then again, from the bottom up perspective, it feels just like a lot of victim mentality and scarcity and very much of fighting. It's like the crab in the bucket almost kind of mentality is what it feels like to me. So I'm just so glad you said that perspective. Thank you so much. That was, I think, so many people needed to hear. I've had this conversation with people all the time, just even friends, other entrepreneurs, of this, like, I don't want to work with, and I hate to use the term low level, and I don't mean they're low level individuals, but low earning individuals. They're like, I don't like working with them. They give me so much stress. And so, and I'm like, yeah, the best clients I've worked with already have a lot of money. They have all of these things in place. And like, my job becomes significantly easier as a messaging strategist, because I just come in and everything's already there. And I'm like, hey, look, we can shift these couple of things. And yeah, we'll work on mindset sometimes, but I don't really do a lot of mindset, I'm sure, like you do. But it's just, it's a completely different mentality. And you're right, the resources. I love it.
When you're able to take money out, it's so weird because we're talking about money, but I'm like, when you're able to take money off the table, or like my favorite phrase, let's deal with the money stuff and then we can actually do the important work. Because once money's out of the way, like you said, we're free to like actually do the work.
Yeah.
So let's just get this out of the way. And so whether that is 10K, 50K, 200K, $1 million to work with you, whatever, it doesn't matter. Get it out of the way. It's done. Cool. Yeah. All right. Let's actually get to work.
Yeah. And I'll even say too, just one last thing. I know we're getting to the end. Just one last thing. It's one of the things I know we've been talking a lot about, like the charging the higher rates. And I think, again, I'm going to speak on the lower end here. A lot of what I've seen is a lot of the, when you're talking about the bottom up mentality, it is this more like, I just need to charge more. So like people think I'm more valuable. But then what I see a lot of people do is they pay those really high prices to get in those programs. And then they're incredibly disappointed because the energy is just completely off. And again, that's a whole different conversation.
Oh my gosh, forget it.
Oh my gosh, we get to all of that. But then I've also been in, where I've been in masterminds where I've paid a lot of money, but the person delivered more than I'm like, oh my God, it was worth 100 times more than what I paid for it because of their resources and their connections. And I got connected here. And I remember being in one mastermind and he was like, oh, this is what you do here. You need to talk to someone through me. And I like got into all this whirlwind. And then I'm like, oh my God, I have the phone number of the guy who created UGG boots in my phone. And I'm like, this is insane. Oh my God, this is great. But it's not like the clout. It's just that literally even their mentoring is completely different. It's such a completely different experience. And it's not cookie cutter. It's not one size fits all. It's like a very much, okay, here's you. You're an individual. How can I help you on an individual custom level? And it's just, yeah, from my experience.
Yeah, no, it's a very good thing because, and like I said, we could have a whole different other conversation.
About
what high level, low level, what's in that, what's this, whatever. But I think one thing in this kind of will take us home and goes back to knowing yourself and understanding like how you were created and things of that sort. So one thing that is powerful about me is I have a defined throat chakra.
And I have an undefined, completely
undefined. Okay. So for me, when it's like, when we talk about writing, right? People think about writing, speaking, all that. That is something that's very defined for me. That is something that also is very, comes very easily. I can complicate it, right? But it comes very easily. What I've learned and what I've put out there, my mantra for years has been my words make myself and my clients billions of dollars. And that's gone through several different iterations. So I used to do copywriting for other individuals. I still work through that with some clients, especially in business development. But just me speaking to somebody, it's worth billions of dollars. Why? Because it doesn't take me, when you said you're in these other masterminds, right? And they may be more expensive, but it's a bespoke experience that gets you, it's not the 12
pounds,
whatever. It's a whole different other experience that actually gets you more than what you ever imagined. I can spend 5 minutes with the person and completely change their life. And I've had to learn.
Oh, I've been on this podcast for an hour and I feel like I had shifted my, I'm like, this is 1 billion.
But I've had to learn that's enough. That's my power. So when you talk about being in these spaces, yeah, I could charge. I do charge. Depends on what it is. Between some of my smaller courses are 20K. Some are up to 500K. But knowing that the value is there just in the work that I'm doing and my power, which is my voice, my words, my this, my that. And I've seen it time and time and time and time again, how powerful it is. And also when we're talking about different arenas, when you're like, hey, I was in this higher level mastermind. And like you said, we don't like high level, low level, whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, you had the capacity to receive. You didn't need 4 calls. You didn't need 12 master classes. You didn't need, now maybe he puts that out there or maybe they put that out there. It's available if you want it. But 5 minutes with that guy or your mentor changed your life. Okay. And you pay for it over and over again. Yeah. So it's a very subtle difference on how we show up in those higher levels as well, in regards to who we are, money, both people, not just the mentor. So I know we've gone everywhere, but it's very important to understand that too. So that's why I say you don't just charge high prices. We can all do that. We can all change it. And you see that online. I've seen it so many times where people, I don't want to talk about it. I'm like,
we could go on forever.
I don't even want to go there because I'm like, honey, seriously, I don't want to be a bitch, but seriously, Okay. You know what? I'm not going to doubt you because that's not my job. You have the belief it's going to work. But also,
I get it. I know, which is why I love you too, because I think every single person I pay attention to has to define throat chakra, obviously, because you guys like are so effortless in speaking. It's funny for me because mine's completely open. So basically for me, I'm really good at projecting back like what people are saying. But then when I have to say my own words, it's like I just feel like I have a word vomit. But which is interesting, because also this is just a point to why I love you and how you speak and all of your content, because and just your aesthetic and like who you are, because a lot of the times we talked about this before we jumped on, people think ultra high net worth. I said it, individuals, they think very professional and poised. And I'm like, but here you aren't speaking so eloquently in words I can't understand. And your energy is so fun and like fiery and sassy. And I just love it. And like, it's like such an inspiration to me, because yes, like I feel this very much too. And so it's, oh my God, here you can see this person. She's just 100% being who she is. She is speaking how she wants to speak. And I just love it. And so it just gives me inspiration too, just to know, yeah, like you don't have to be this type of person or like this idea that everyone has to be able to work with these people. And honestly, that is how I got in that mastermind. Is because I was in a different mastermind and the person was like, I need to introduce you to my friend, and because like he needs to be on your podcast. And then he came on my podcast, and then I was like, I have to work with you. Like, I have to work with you. And I got into that mastermind and it was amazing. And I remember like getting in there, and I wasn't like the little fish in a big pond, but I made the least amount of money than anyone in that mastermind.
That's okay.
But yeah. It was totally fine. I'm like, look, I'm in this room. I actually love being the least in the room, because I have the most.
On still,
I love it.
I'm like,
okay, if I'm in the highest in the room, I'm in the wrong room. Get me out of this room. I want
wrong room. Got to go.
It is also interesting too, because oh my God, we're gonna keep going. But interesting, because the higher level individuals too are the ones that I feel really do want to raise you up the most.
Yeah.
Like with their resources, I have been more supported and never judged. I could be like, guys, I could literally go to the mastermind and be like, I made $0 this month. They're like, cool, great, whatever. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
Well, let's make a plan. Come on, what are we going to do? And who can I connect you with? Oh, this is amazing. And there's no judgment. There's no nothing, right? Which is so amazing. And again, their resources and just who they are as people.
Yeah.
Right? He actually told me, he said, it's really lonely at the top, not because people make so much money at the top. It's because there are so many people who haven't gotten there. So why would we not want to bring people up with us? Like, why would we not want more people to be at the top? He's like, when you're at the top, it's great to be at the top, because again, you can help more people. You can do so many things. And he's like, why would we not want more people up here?
Yeah, that's what I say. I say all the time. I'm like, you know what? There's plenty of room at the top, and I've got the Dom chilled for you when you're ready to be here. But other than that, I can't do it for you. You have to want to do that. And I think there's so many stereotypes, and we talked about some of them today, like thought processes about who, what, when, where, how you have to be, what's this, what's that, in order to work with this level or be at this level or whatever else. And I'm like, you know what, if I'm anything, I'm just the antithesis of what most people would say, would think, would have to be able to support and work with higher net worth individuals. Or high net worth and ultra high net worth individuals. I don't really know. I'm just like, I'm just me, and I just do my thing. And that six line, that's what we do. And most people would assume, it's funny because a lot of people do assume that, of course you do. Well, look at you, of course this and of course that. And I'm like, okay, thank you. But also understanding that, very much like you said, if you go in that world, I'm talking to people and working with individuals and their close connections who are managing 500 million, like assets under management, like bare minimum. We're talking about big money rooms. Big money individuals. This is not like just millions of dollars. And there's me coming in my bright pink suit, because that's I'm like, listen, in the sea of black suits.
Yeah, you
see. Here we go. Or purple or whatever else. I'm just being me. And it gives people, not that they need it, but especially for my clients, what I found is it like just gives them permission to just be human. And that's a thing, like ultra high net worth or high performer, anything else. I think the thing that we have to realize is that we fight so often and we fight so hard to rid ourselves of the human experience, but that's just the very thing that connects us, and that's everybody. The very thing of who we are. And so when people come to me, I'm like, I humanize superhuman individuals, because it's true. You can be human with me. It's okay. We can talk about yachts and we can talk about feelings. Okay. We can talk about all of those things. And nothing phases me because it's a human experience. That's what we're going through. So when you see yourself, and this is coming into money as well, when we think about people who want to make more money or who want to support people with more money, when you realize that you are human just like them, it equals, evens out the playing field a little bit and it allows you to be like, actually, I am worthy of this. Actually, I am worth this. Actually, it's just money. It's just this. It's just if you go to your Stripe account or whatever else and there's $100,000 in there or whatever, and you want it instantly into your bank account, which it's not, and you can press send and 3 seconds later it's there. And it's, you're like, how is that? Like, what numbers? That's it. That's what we must. It's it. And if you're going to let numbers differentiate you from people or from having the life that you want or doing things that you want, then that's on you, honey. It doesn't have to, though.
I think that's a perfect note to end on. Money is just numbers. Love it. Absolutely love it. But thank you. I'm like so lit up right now. My generator is like, God, I'm so happy right now. This was such a good conversation. Thank you so much for having it with me today and for coming on and sharing. I just love you so much. And I love watching all of your stuff. And everybody go follow her now. I will drop your links.
Okay, perfect.
For everyone to go and follow you. And yeah, just thank you so much for your wisdom. And
thank you so much for having me on. This was so much fun. We didn't talk about sharks, but.
No, we didn't talk about sharks, but hey. We talked about taking your money mindset from the toilet to the bank. Okay. That's right. What we talked about today. Okay. We talked about that. So there was some parts in there.
Right.
For sure. But yeah, I love it so much. Can you just tell people how they can connect with you other than social media? I know that you talked about the offer that you have for people who are looking to work with ultra high net worth individuals. Can you share some details about that?
So the best way to get a hold of me, most likely, just my website is www.theshaylalocklear.com, which is, I'll be honest, it's going through reformation refit right now. So just be patient with us. We're working on some things, but you can always like subscribe to my email or you can send a message to me. No problem. Social media is fine too. You'll get my assistant, but they'll get it to me as well. Social media is more so where you'll see me offer the business development side of things. So that is if you're wanting to support or work with or expand the luxury side of your business and work with high net worth, ultra high net worth individuals, then I have a mini mastermind for that. I also have one-on-one money, I call them wealth psychology sessions, to support individuals who just need a catalyst in that and understanding like where getting to the core of where their money challenges are. And it's for the people, my favorite phrase is for the people who've taken all the money courses and still nothing has happened. Then
I'm raising your hand. Like, how many of us have taken 15 million money courses and they all basically say the same thing, but like no tangible.
No, then you work with me.
One to three
sessions will get you. We'll get you together.
I love it.
So those are the things that you can work with me on, business development side or either just private wealth psychology side. You can do that as well. If you're a high net worth, ultra high net worth individual who wants support on the non-financial challenges of wealth success, then my website, you can apply and someone will get back to you within 24 hours, 24 business hours. Those are all the things.
Okay. I'll make sure to put all the links below. And okay. Again, thank you so much. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the No Farting Around Show. It's been an absolute blast making a big stink with you. If you find yourself gasping for more, then come join me over on my socials. Links are below. If you enjoyed this episode, don't fart and dart. Please leave a review. It would be greatly appreciated. Cheers to breaking wind, barriers, and I'll see you in the next episode.